From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. I want to inform our NAPS chatters that next week we will broadcast our special FEHBP Open Season episode of NAPS Chat with the OPM expert on Open Season. So please log on next week. Now let's turn our attention to this week. I would like to start with some basics regarding the function of regulatory agencies. An agency is part of the executive branch of the federal government, tasked with ensuring that entities subject to its authority comply with the law. Each regulatory agency was created around a unique mission and is responsible for enforcing rules on particular issues and industries. Generally speaking, regulatory agencies are tasked with protecting the American public. For example, the Federal Aviation Administration helps ensure air safety. The Occupational Health and Safety Administration is tasked with protecting the workplace, and the Securities and Exchange Commission protects investors. Unlike other regulators, the Postal Regulatory Commission regulates only one entity, and that entity is another federal agency, the United States Postal Service. So this week, we'll explore the Postal Regulatory Commission, its mission, as well as related issues with regard to the Postal Service, with the Postal Regulatory Commission's Vice Chairwoman, Ashley Poling. Ashley was nominated to the PRC by former President Donald Trump and confirmed by the Senate in August 2019, and was elected Vice Chair by her Commission colleagues this past January. Prior to joining the Commission, Vice Chairwoman Poling served as a staff member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee under Chairman Gary Peters, and was a staff member of the subcommittee chaired by former Senator Heidi Heitkamp, as well as working for Senator John Tester. During her Senate career, Ashley focused on postal issues. Ashley is a dear and respected friend. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Ashley.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's great to be here.
Well, Ashley, knowing of your congressional career in the Senate and handling postal issues in the Senate, I'd like to know, is there something that you learned as a commissioner on the Postal Regulatory Commission that you didn't know when you were handling postal issues on Capitol Hill?
That's a great question, Bob. I think, you know, there's all kinds of things probably that, you know, it's just so different. I think the perspective when you're working on the Hill and in the legislative branch, obviously, versus the executive branch. But I think, you know, one of the things I learned is there's so many things that we do, and they're so very detail oriented, I think. And when you're on the Hill, you get you're going to get a glimpse of what the Postal Regulatory Commission does, right? But I don't know if you know just the level of sort of the weeds we get into in a daily basis in the decisions that we make. So I think that's one thing. Another thing would be, I think I worked on federal workforce issues when I was on the Hill. So I was pretty, you know, fairly aware of, you know, a lot of issues at agencies and those sorts of things. But I don't think until coming here did I really understand the interplay between, you know, between political appointees and then the essential permanent technical staffs and how they coexist at an agency. So much of what I'm able to do is reliant on career staff who have so much institutional knowledge. So that's something that's a little bit different too, but also in a really good way, I think. And then I have some things too that probably haven't changed, but I don't know if you're interested in those or not.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about something you just mentioned, and that is that as a Senate staff person, you were concerned about, you had an understanding of the PRC's mission. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what is the mission of the Postal Regulatory Commission?
Yeah, so the mission of the Postal Regulatory Commission is to ensure transparency and accountability of the U.S. Postal Service and foster a vital and efficient universal mail system. And we've had, just in case, you did a really nice job, Bob, I thought at the beginning, going over the role of agencies and regulators and that sort of thing. But I would just say, you know, we are an independent agency that has exercised regulatory oversight over the Postal Service since its creation in 1970.
As part of its mission, and I spoke about this with the first chairman of the Postal Regulatory Commission, Dan Blair, and it was the concept of constructive tension that should exist between the commission and the Postal Service. Could you talk about this tension and how it is intended to protect the mailing public?
Yeah, so I think, you know, both the Postal Service and the PRC are interested in ensuring a strong future for the Postal Service and meeting the needs of the American people. But I think that, you know, obviously folks sometimes have different perspectives, I think, on how we get there. Just in case it's helpful, too, for your audience, Bob, just to make sure it's clear, the mission of the postal operator, which is the Postal Service, is to deliver mail and packages from point A to point B within a certain time period that varies for each type of product. So this could be letters, magazines, packages. You know, I already mentioned our oversight role, obviously, as the regulator. But another way, you know, we do exercise our oversight is through annually assessing the Postal Service's compliance with the provisions of the law. And this includes legal requirements on rates and quality of service. You've probably heard of it. It's called our annual compliance determination. That comes out every March. And then the PRC also ensures that the Postal Service is following the law with the rates that they propose.
Let's talk a little bit about that. At the top of the program, I talked about the FAA, OSHA, SEC, and others. They have certain authorities in which they can enforce their regulatory authority. Does the PRC have any authority to enforce its decisions and its findings?
Yeah, so I think there is a lot. And obviously, you know, our biggest one, I would say, is transparency. That's really what we are focused on. And I think, you know, and accountability. And again, one of the things we do pretty regularly, Bob, is we do publish these quarterly service reports on our website. And that obviously is, I think, a great way of the public knowing sort of what those numbers are looking like, right, for the Postal Service. And I think also, you know, our main avenue for regulating quality of service is, you know, both before and after the mail is delivered. And I mentioned our ACD process. I mentioned our quarterly service reports. But those are really all ways, I think, that the public is aware of exactly what is going on. And I think our annual compliance determination really does an excellent job of detailing which products are in and out of compliance. And that has to do with rates. We measure that. We also do measure, you know, service performance. And, you know, that is a place, I think, where people can really see how the Postal Service has performed in the prior year.
In terms of performance, I know that's been a highlight of the last couple of months with regard to oversight of the Postal Service. And I know that former Postal Regulatory Commission Chairwoman Ruth Goldway had a particular appreciation with regard to delivery point customers. That is, for example, residential customers. Sometimes one gets the feeling that there's more emphasis placed upon the needs of large mailers than the postal reliant public. How does the PRC value delivery point customers?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what that really gets at, Bob, is probably the part of our mission that directly talks about fostering a vital and efficient universal mail system. And something else I probably should have said, and I'll make sure I say it now, is that all these perspectives, obviously, I think you know this, but these are my views, right, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Postal Regulatory Commission. And I bring that up now because, you know, obviously I do have some personal views, right, on sort of what the universal mail system means. And to me, you know, that means really making sure that rural America receives mail service that is as fast, frequent, and affordable as anywhere else in the country. You know, oftentimes in rural communities, the Postal Service is the most visible, sometimes the only option that residents have for a variety of important tasks. And, you know, it's something I think I have a personal perspective and experience on, I guess, you know, from spending time in places like Montana and North Dakota when I was working in the U.S. Senate. Postal Service really is this these post offices, right, are these community centers in rural communities. And they really are, you know, when you hear the word lifeline, I mean, it's true. You know, it really is something that I think binds them together. So for me, I think, you know, I take that, you know, to mean absolutely that this system is meant to protect, you know, all of these customers, no matter where they live in our country.
Let's talk about the Postal Regulatory Commission and its advisory opinions, because that touched upon something that you just talked about. I'd like you to explain, if you can, the nature of an advisory opinion issued by the Postal Regulatory Commission, and then we'll get back into some specifics.
Absolutely. So I'll just kind of go ahead and explain what it is then, right, Bob? That sounds like maybe what you're looking for first. Okay, so basically, when the Postal Service makes a change to the nature of postal services that affects service on a nationwide or substantially nationwide basis, the law requires the Postal Service to request an advisory opinion from the Commission. And this advisory opinion would examine the potential effects of this change. And I think it's really important to mention that any recommendations that are provided by the Commission in this advisory opinion are non-binding. And so that means that the Postal Service has the ability to go forward with its proposal without making any changes if it does decide to do so.
With regard to the specific cases this summer, and there were two cases. One dealt with first-class mail and periodicals, and the other dealt with first-class packages. You and your fellow commissioners concluded in each of the two cases that the Postal Service did not satisfactorily demonstrate that it could successfully implement its plans, that it didn't evaluate the plan's impact that it would have on the American public. I know you also questioned the financial effect of the plan, whether or not it did have effect on the Postal Service. So when you say the PRC doesn't have the authority to mandate, it's merely an advisory opinion, how should Americans view the conclusions?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think ultimately that decision is up to them. You know, I think how they view them. But I will say, you know, that is a part of the law, right? And so currently the way it is written, that is, you know, sort of the level of authority we do have, is that it is advisory in nature. Personally, you know, a lot of time is spent on these. I think the commission does a tremendous job in terms of the work it puts together. It's a tremendous amount of resources to analyze these proposals and to put out these advisory opinions. And, you know, while I did have separate views on one proposal, I know you said you might want to explore that. You know, I will say this, I think both advisory opinions did a really excellent job in pointing out, you know, I think what the gaps were in both proposals. And so, again, I mean, my personal hope is, right, that the Postal Service takes those and really looks at them and, you know, takes them into account. But, you know, I also, there is also a process, too, right, where if there are additional things, you know, you would like to say or just make sure that you're representing, you know, that's where a process like the one we had in the first advisory opinion where we included separate views, that's where that can come into play.
Okay, that's a great jumping off part. You did have separate views. All five commissioners agreed in the critique of the Postal Service's analysis and implementation, but you and the chairman of the commission, Mike Ubianda, departed a bit in that, or I would say enriched the comments by your colleagues. Can you talk a little bit about your separate views?
Sure. And, you know, just to, I think I've already made this clear, but I do think the reason I obviously signed the advisory opinion itself in that case is because I do think the gaps, I think, were really well identified by our terrific, you know, we've got experts at the commission, our staff is really incredible. And I think we did a nice job in the advisory opinion of providing those. For me, I think I just needed to go a bit further personally. And I think one of the things that really concerned me, right, with the Postal Service's proposal is that they didn't specifically take into account the views of important groups of Americans that often have greater reliance on the mail in their daily lives. And in addition to folks in rural areas, this could also include the elderly. This could also include people who have lower incomes. And one of my, you know, concerns is that these changes could risk leaving behind some of these Americans. And I personally thought that the Postal Service should put a pause on its plan until they examined how it would actually affect these Americans and their lives. and potentially come up with ways to mitigate, you know, those harms to both individuals, but also small businesses. So, you know, this is, Bob, you know, these two recent proposals mark the third and fourth time in the last 10 years that the Postal Service has attempted to save money by slowing down service. And that, and you know, it's the second time for first class mail, which is the Postal Service's flagship mail product. And, you know, that's something that really concerns me. And from what I've seen, you know, there have been a number of these, you know, when changes have been made in the past, the Postal Service has said that they will obviously, you know, have significant cost savings. And it has proven before that they actually would not save nearly as much as they said they would. So, and I think in this case, I do believe it's such a small amount of cost savings, even if it were achieved, that I don't think it really justifies the disruption to people's lives caused by the mail slowdown.
Yeah, we saw two recent operational changes by the Postal Service. One proposed change, another one actually was an implemented change. One was the Retail Optimization Initiative, which was proposed a number of years ago, and more recently Postplan, which really didn't live up to the cost savings that it seemed to promote. So when you look at this analysis, does the Postal Regulatory Commission have a role in following up and monitoring the cost impact of implemented changes that the Postal Service makes?
I think that's a really interesting question. I would say it's not up to us, I guess. if we were to have that role, you know, that would really be up to Congress if they were to decide. But we do, I think, in a way, you know, our ACD, Bob, sorry, our annual compliance determination, for those that aren't familiar with the postal abbreviations, I do think that that does provide a way, right, where we can sort of, you know, we are really analyzing how certain things have gone, right, throughout the past year. It does provide us, I think, an opportunity to comment on some of those things. So I do think there's certainly a way, and maybe a more indirect way, right? But I also think that's something, if you're talking about, it depends on sort of what your question is. If you're talking about like a more defined authority, that's probably something that Congress would need to weigh in on.
Let's talk about, generally speaking, commission as part of its advisory opinion, whether or not it's these two opinions, or whether or not opinions that may come in the future or may have come in the past, you make recommendations, you provide advice. Mm-hmm. To what extent does the Postal Service, A, follow your advice? I mean, is there a track record of them following your advice? And, you know, for example, you and your additional views said the Postal Service should press the pause and return to the drawing board. I don't think they're going to do that. But with regard to the advice that the commission did provide on these advisory opinions or other advisory opinions, what do you think the Postal Service does with your advice?
Well, again, I think that's another great question, but I also think that's a better question for the Postal Service. I think they're the only ones that can really answer that. Like I said, I personally hope that they really take the recommendations that we make through these advisory opinions into deep consideration. I think a lot of time is spent on them. I think, as I mentioned before, tremendous resources, tremendous analysis. You know, they're very thoughtful. And I do personally hope that they really look at them and maybe include them, you know, as they step forward with their plans.
As I listen to you, I recall at a recent House postal hearing, which took place in Chicago, Oversight and Reform Committee Chairwoman Karen Maloney expressed frustration that despite the lack of data that the commission pointed out that justified the slowdown, as you documented, the Postal Service proceeded full throttle. So she indicated that she planned to introduce legislation to provide the Postal Regulatory Commission with more authority to suspend implementation of operational changes that could impact performance in the absence of data to demonstrate a positive impact. Would Vice Chairwoman Ashley Poling, I'm not expecting you to represent the commission, but do you think that the Postal Regulatory Commission will benefit by having such authority?
I think it's really interesting, and it'll be interesting to obviously take a look at that when it is, you know, introduced. So I think it's a bit premature for me to fully comment on that. But I am happy to say, you know, just a few things, Bob, that maybe are helpful in regards to my personal views on a few things I commented on, actually, in the first advisory opinion we were just talking about. I had separate views. There's a few comments that, you know, I did make in regards to the process. And I'd be happy to talk about those a bit. One example I think that's actually incredibly interesting is that, as I mentioned, there's so many resources, right, that are involved in putting these advisory opinions together. Postal Service, meanwhile, has no obligation, right, to even take them into account or to, like, they can choose, right, to move forward however they would like to. But I think an interesting comparison point would be if the Postal Service wants to close a post office in a single community, Title 39 sets out clear criteria for the Postal Service's decision and creates an appeal process where the commission, short of halting the process, can at least determine where the Postal Service's proposal is lacking and remand that decision to the Postal Service for reconsideration. And I think this creates kind of a strange imbalance in the law where the closure of a post office serving hundreds of people requires more regulatory oversight than nationwide changes to service standards that affect hundreds of millions. And so, you know, this is something I talked about in my separate views in the first advisory opinion from the summer. I do believe more effective guardrails need to be built into the process to protect the American people from service reductions that can substantially impact the mail service in our country for years to come. And I think, you know, Congress alone is the one who has the power to fix this imbalance in the law. And so I think it's great to hear that they're focusing on this issue. And I'll look forward to seeing that.
I read in Chairman Kubiyanda's additional opinion with regard on the advisory opinion, he explicitly said that Congress may want to consider providing more authority to the Postal Regulatory Commission in the pursuit of advisory opinions. Does that resonate with you?
You know, I do think the process has to be really looked at. I think when we're providing, again, my own personal perspective, and I want to make it clear, I'm not speaking on behalf of any other commissioner here or representing the Postal Regulatory Commission as a whole. This is my opinion. I do really think that more guardrails do need to be built into the process. And I do think that when there are these incredible resources devoted to really analyzing, you know, the issues that are in these proposals, and when gaps are found, as they were, right, in both the first end case proposal from the summer and then from the second one, obviously on packages that came out at the end of November, I think it's really important to know, I think to understand, are those gaps being looked at? Are they being analyzed? And I think that, you know, Congress at the end of the day is the architect, right, of those sorts of things. They want to change that process or amend it in any way. I think stakeholders will always be, you know, including us, would always be happy to take a look at anything that they wanted to propose. But I do think that is their decision in the end. But I do think the process right now could certainly bear improving. And I would say that's how I personally feel.
The last issue I want to touch upon with you concerns a recent filing, and I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on the merits of the filing, but rather discuss process. The commission has been asked by 20 state attorney generals and the attorney general of the District of Columbia to find that the Postal Service violated the law in its initiation of its 10-year plan. The attorney generals, as I said, made the filing as a formal complaint to the Postal Regulatory Commission. I know you can't address the merits, as I said, because it's a pending action, but could you talk about the process? What is the complaint process? Why is it there?
Yeah. So, you know, and as you already said, Bob, I appreciate that. You're always very good at understanding our rules. So because of our ex parte rules, you know, I can't say a lot about this issue because the complaint is currently pending before the commission. But, you know, I will say, again, my personal perspective, I think the fact that this is happening, you know, could potentially highlight the importance that the public places on high quality mail service. But I would say, you know, so yesterday, the Postal Service filed a motion to dismiss the complaint. Under the commission's regulations, within 90 days of receiving the complaint and after reviewing the complaint and any motion or answer from the Postal Service, the commission will decide whether the complaint raises material issues of fact and then begin proceedings on the complaint or whether it can dismiss the complaint. And unfortunately, I can't really discuss the issue too much more than that at that time. But, you know, I will say you asked about a little bit, I think, the meaning of the complaint process. It's there, right? The complaint process for hearing and representing the concerns of the public. And it's an open and inclusive process. So, but that's probably you know, that's just my my general take on the complaint process. But any more specifics about this, unfortunately, I really just can't get into at this time.
Ashley, I want to thank you for joining me on Naps Chat. It's been great. It's been educational. As always, I love having the opportunity to have a discussion as one postal geek to another.
Well, it's always lovely talking to you, Bob. And I'm so glad that we had a chance here today to talk about, you know, some of the service issues that are going on and everything else. It's always just, you know, I always appreciate you have a unique ability, I think, to really get into the weeds of questions from all of your time in the postal industry. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm sorry I can't get into more weeds on certain subjects, but I do appreciate, you know, you being so understanding in that regard.
There will be a time for that in the future.
I'm sure there will.
This has been Ashley Poling, Vice Chair of the Postal Regulatory Commission. And thank you once again, Ashley, for joining us today. And I want to thank
you.
No problem. We love having you. And I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and healthy.
I'm going to send right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going